Luke 17, verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. You can be seated. In the first lesson that we had, we grouped all the offended people into two major categories. And those have been, number one is those that have been genuinely mistreated. And number two, those who think they have been mistreated, but actually were not. Okay? So in this lesson tonight, I want to address the first category of those that have been genuinely offended or mistreated. So I want to begin by asking a question. If you have been genuinely mistreated, do you have the right to be offended? So in answer, let's look at the life of Jacob's favorite son, Joseph. You can go read the chapter later, but it's Genesis 37 to 48. And Joseph was Jacob's 11th son. Joseph was despised by his older brothers because his father favored him. And he set him apart, and he made this coat of many colors. But even though he was hated by his brothers, folks, God gave Joseph a dream. And in the first, he saw bound sheaves in a field. And his sheaf arose and stood upright while his brother's sheaves bowed down to him. In the second dream, he saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, representing his father, his mother, and brothers, bowing to him. And when he told these dreams to his brothers, needless to say, they did not share his enthusiasm. They just hated him even more. And shortly after his 10 brothers went to feed their father's flock in the field, Jacob sent Joseph to see how they were doing. And when the older brothers saw Joseph coming, they conspired against him, saying, well, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. And then if we kill him, then we shall see what will become of his dreams. There's always going to be people question things that God give you. Okay? So here they are, they're making fun. Let's kill him, then we shall see what becomes of his dreams. He says he's going to be a leader over us. Let him try to lead us when he is dead. So they threw him in a pit to die. They took his coat away, they tore it, and they stained it with animal's blood to convince their father he had been devoured by a wild beast. And after they threw him into the pit, they saw this company of Ishmaelites on their way to Egypt. And Judas said, hey, wait a minute, guys. If we let him rot in the pit, it will not profit us. But let's make some money and sell him as a slave. He will be as good as dead and will never again bother us. And we'll all share in his spoils. So they sold him for 20 shekels of silver. Joseph had offended them, so they betrayed him, taking away his inheritance, taking away his family. Some people, I'm telling you, sometimes you offend them and they can really be dirty in repaying. Now keep in mind, these are brothers who did this. They had the same father, same flesh and blood. And now, folks, as American culture is so different that it is hard for us sometimes to understand the severity of what these men did. You see, only killing him would have been worse. In biblical times, it was very important to have sons. A man's sons carried his name and inherited all that he had. And Joseph's brothers kept him from ever receiving his father's name and inheritance. They blotted his name out, completely stripping him of his identity. And when a person was sold as a slave to another country, he remained a slave until he died. And the woman that he married would be a slave, and all of his children would be slaves. Joseph was sold to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar was an officer of the Pharaoh and a captain of the guard, and Joseph served him for about 10 years. And as time went on, Joseph found favor in Potiphar's mind, and he was treated well by Potiphar. And Potiphar set Joseph over his household and all that he had. But at the same time that conditions were looking up for Joseph, something very wrong was brewing in the wife of his master. She had casting long eyes on him and wanted to commit adultery with him, and she tried daily to seduce him, and he refused her. And one day she was alone with him in the house and cornered him and insisted that he lie with her. And he refused and ran out, leaving his robe in her clutched hand. And when he did this, she was shamed and screamed, "Rape!" And Potiphar had Joseph thrown into Pharaoh's prison. Now, Pharaoh's prison, folks, was nothing like our prisons in America. There was no sunlight. There was no workout areas. It was just a sunken room or pit, and no light and very little warmth. Conditions ranged from crude to dehumanizing. Prisoners were put there to rot as they survived on the bread and water. And in 1 Kings 22, it talks about of affliction. You see, they were given just enough food to survive so they could suffer. Can you hear Joseph's thoughts in the damp darkness of the dungeon? "I served my master with honesty and with integrity for over 10 years. I'm more faithful than his wife. I stayed loyal to my God, my master, daily fleeing sexual immorality. When what is my reward? A dungeon." Joseph had very limited freedom in his life, but he still had, folks, hear me, he still had the right to choose his response to all that had happened to him. See, would he become offended, bitter toward his brothers, and eventually toward his God? Would he give up all hope of the promised fulfillment, robbing himself of at least incentive to live? I want you to understand something today, folks. God is in control. You see, it probably never crossed Joseph's mind until it was over that this was God's process to prepare him to rule. Now, I believe God has something for each of us. And you may have had dreams and you may not have had dreams. And you may have had somebody speak into your life or whatever it may be. God has something for each of us. And folks, how you handle the reaction of people in your life determines where you go in God. You see, Joseph, in this prison, in this time, God was preparing him to rule. God, don't you have a better course? How would he use his future authority over these brothers that betrayed him? Joseph, folks, was learning obedience by what he suffered. His brothers were skillfully weighed instruments in the hand of God. Would Joseph hold fast to the promises, seeking God for his purpose? God had given Joseph dreams. Maybe when Joseph had his dream, he saw them as confirmation of the favor on his life. Joseph had not yet learned, folks, that authority is giving to serve, not to set you apart. Come on. I'm going to say that again. Joseph had not yet learned that authority is given to serve, not to set you apart. To Joseph, the bottom line was his brothers. They were the force that had thrown him into this dungeon. And maybe Joseph entertained thoughts of how things would be different once he was in power. And when God put him, folks, in the position of authority, he had seen in what he had seen in the dreams, how different it all would be if his brothers had not aborted his future. Folks, how often do we hear our brothers and sisters fall into the same trap of assigning blame? Think about it. We've heard people blame other people for the position or the predicament that we find ourselves in. If it weren't for my wife, I would probably be in the ministry. She has hindered me and ruined so much of what I have dreamed of. You heard people talk like that? Or, if it weren't for my parents, I would have had a normal life. They are to blame for where I am today. And how come others have normal parents and I don't? If my mom and dad didn't get divorced, I would have been much better off in my own marriage. It's the blame game, folks. Or, if it weren't for my pastor repressing this gift in me, I would be free and unhinged. The pastor has kept me from fulfilling my ministry, the destiny of my ministry. The pastor has turned the people in the church against me. Or, if it weren't for my former husband, my kids and I would have all the financial, we wouldn't have all this financial trouble that we're in. Folks, the list is endless. Joseph could have done this. You see, it is easy to blame everyone else for the problems you have. And you can imagine how much better off you would be if you had not been for all those people around you. You can do that. But listen to me, folks. Absolutely, absolutely no man, no woman, no child, or devil can ever get you out of the will of God. Come on. No one but God holds your destiny. Joseph's brothers tried hard to destroy the vision God gave him. And they thought that they had ended it for Joseph. They said out of their own mouths, "Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now, I ask you, could it get any worse for Joseph? See, prison was a time of sifting for Joseph, but it was also a time of opportunity. You see, there were two prisoners with Joseph, and both had vivid and disturbing dreams. Joseph, thank goodness he had the right mind, because he kept the right mind, I believe, was able to interpret both of these men's dreams with amazing accuracy. And one man was to be restored while the other would be executed. And Joseph asked the one about to be restored to remember him. He said, "Remember me when you regain Pharaoh's favor." Do you think for one minute if Joseph would have turned himself bitter and allowed himself to begin to hate his brothers and hate his God, he would have had this opportunity? He would have rotted in prison. Joseph, folks, when he asked this man that went to Pharaoh, he said, "Remember me." And the man returned to Pharaoh's service. Now think about this. It wasn't quick. He was, but 2 years passed. 2 years passed with no word. It was yet another letdown for Joseph. Another opportunity to become offended. Hear me tonight, folks. God always has a plan. Always. The time came when Pharaoh had a very alarming dream. And none of his magicians or none of his wise men could give him the explanation of his dream. And it was then that the restored servant remembered Joseph. He shared how Joseph had interpreted his and his companions' dreams while they were in prison. Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh what the dream meant. A famine, he said, was coming. And wisely, he instructed Pharaoh on how to prepare for this crisis. And Pharaoh, folks, immediately promoted Joseph to second in command over all Egypt. Now, how is this going to connect with his dream? His brothers don't live in Egypt. You see, folks, later when the famine came to all the known nations, had to come where? To Egypt for aid. You see, if Joseph had held anything in his heart against his brothers, that would have been the time to carry it out. Joseph could have thrown them in prison for life, tortured them, and even killed them. He was second in command in Egypt, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. And to go a step further, Joseph looked at what Joseph said to his brothers when they were reunited. I can't get it out here. Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Listen to this. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." I'm telling you, folks, God always has a plan. So listen to this. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Who sent Joseph? His brothers or his God? I don't believe Joseph had the right to be offended. He didn't see it that way. You see, we see that it was God who sent him. And Joseph said plainly to his brothers, "It was not you who sent me." I say it again, folks, no mortal man or devil can supersede the plan of God for your life. If you lay hold of this truth, it will set you free. Stop blaming other people or other situations. Maybe God is sending you there. Maybe God is putting you through that for a reason. But see, there's only one person who can get you out of the will of God, and that is you. You may have been serving the Lord fervently and have come into a difficult life situation, folks, because of being mistreated by either wicked people or carnal Christians. The truth is, you have been treated unjustly. We see that. But to become offended would only fulfill the enemy's purpose of getting you out of the will of God. Folks, we must, hear me, we must remember that nothing can come against us without the Lord's knowledge of it before it ever happens. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So remember something, folks. Stay submitted to God and not become offended. James 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you look at that verse, it's telling us right there, how you flee, how do you make the devil flee? Stay submitted to your God. We resist the devil by not becoming offended. You see, the dream or the vision will probably happen differently from how you think it'll happen. But God's word and God's promises will not fail. You see, we only risk aborting the will of God by our disobedience. That's how it is. It's not what other people do to you. It's by our disobedience and allowing ourselves to get offended as we abort the will of God. The devil knows what he's doing. And he wants you to allow yourself to be offended so that the will of God will not happen in your life. Come on. He understands it. Listen, Joseph would not have saved his family if he'd allowed himself to be offended at his brothers. And when they came there, he says, aha, I got you. And he could have justified himself all day long. But I'm sure, folks, as he had time in that jail cell to think about how much he loved his brothers and what God was doing and helping him to become a leader. I feel the presence of God in this house right now. Let's stand and let's just worship God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, God, to get this. God, help us, Lord, right now. Oh, God, show your people, Lord, that you have a dream for them, Lord. That you, God, oh, Lord, you want them to do your will, God, and to be submitted to you, God, so that you can use them. Let your will be done, God, I pray. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are awesome and you are mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. For showing us this, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless Church of Pentecost. God, use your people right now. Hallelujah. Lay somebody on their heart, God, that they can minister to. Hallelujah. Bless us, Lord God, to be what you want us to be. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, folks, for being here tonight. Hallelujah. Let God lead and guide you in your life. Let him bless you. Amen. You are dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.